Hello and welcome to the ViLife podcast. I'm Tony Clark, your host. And once again, I have a special guest on the program. Now, the special guest, he is a Hollywood stunt pilot. He's an award-winning singer and songwriter. He's also an author, and his name is Jeff Senior. So today we'll discuss his new single, One Life, which has hit number 16 on the DRT Global Top 50 Rock Airplay chart. Now, we'll also discuss the other tracks on the album, and the album is Angels and Miracles. So we'll go down track by track and discuss that. And we'll also talk about, ask Jeff what's going on currently and what's going on in his life. What type of projects is he up to? Where's he traveling and so forth? So more information about Jeff and also his band CTS can be found at ctsmusic.com. Again, ctsmusic.com. So, Jeff, thank you for coming back on the program.
Hi, Tony. Thank you very much. What an honor to be back.
Well, I'm just thankful you came back. And so, Jeff, if you don't mind, we'll jump right in the beginning to this new single that's called One Life, and we'll discuss that. So tell me about One Life. What was the genesis of this song? Tell me a little bit about the songwriting process for this song, One Life.
One Life kind of came about as a form of gratitude, I guess, for lack of better words, just as far as I think as we go through this journey of life, we start realizing, especially the older we get, how much of a gift every day is. And so that's what spurred and kind of created One Life. And it's about living every day to the max, every day that you wake up and get out of bed. And, you know, I try to thank God for every day I'm here and I get to have another day here. And so that's kind of what spurred the song and what got it going.
You know, there's a line in the song, and I'm just looking at the lyrics here that really kind of, I wanted to ask about it. I think it's the opening. It says, "Faded photographs etched on my mind paint the memories of this life." What does that mean?
It's kind of about, if you go back in your memory, you know, as far back as you can remember, they're like photographs in your head. It's like a scrapbook, basically. But sometimes they're a little faded, you know. They're, you know, like, oh, I remember when I was five, I did this, or when I was in junior high, I did that. And so it's about those faded photographs, but they're etched forever in your mind. And those memories are what kind of carry you. They're wonderful. Some of them aren't so good. But most of them are good memories, and it's something to reflect on and look back on. And again, that brings gratitude as well.
I'm curious, Jeff, what about the songwriting process? How do you write songs? Do you write it on the guitar? Do you write it? Do you write the melody? Do you sing the melody? Just let me into your mind for just a little bit. For this song, for example, One Life, what's the songwriting process for this song? How long did it take to write the song?
Yeah, I'm kind of all over the map compared to a lot of songwriters. You talk to some people, they go, oh, I got the melody first and I put the lyrics to it. Or I got the lyrics first and put a melody to it. I'm kind of a little of both. Sometimes, and I think most songwriters can relate to, you even wake up in the middle of the night sometimes and have you actually have a melody or you have a lyric. And I've actually learned, if you don't write it down or even record it on your phone real quick, just a melody line, you'll wake up and forget it. You know, there's sometimes you go, oh, I'll remember that when I wake up. And then you wake up like, oh, I had a hit record there and I forgot. So, that's my, sometimes it comes from somebody says something, just a statement, a little phrase, and you're like, whoa, that's a great idea for a song. And so it develops from there. my song Hit and Run is an example years ago. It's off our other album, not this one, but I ran into an old friend that I hadn't seen for a while, and he was kind of aloof, you know, like didn't, and I was excited to see him. And so I thought of the term hit and run. You know, it's like you're so many times in life we're hit and run. We're disappointed by people that we even know or friends. And so just that one incident spawned the song, and you go from there. And then you kind of go, is it going to be heavy? Is it going to be medium? Is it a ballad? You know, so you kind of start thinking about that. And then in your answer to your question, I usually start on the guitar and vocals. I play a little keyboard, piano, and I found if I write on the piano, it's actually kind of different. It's fun. So but mostly guitar for me.
Well, I noticed you've got a couple of guitars and a keyboard behind you. Is that where you write music sometimes?
Yeah, it's my office, and this is my man cave that my wife so humbly allows me to have. She's really good about it. So, but I got guitars and amps and keyboard and a little. I can do minor recording, not professional, but I can do lay down, you know, demo tracks and that. So a lot of times what I'll do is I'll lay down an acoustic guitar and a vocal, and I'll send it out to the guys in the band. And then we start brainstorming together. And they're really good about, hey, for drums, I've kind of got this idea, you know, let's see how that sounds. So before we go into a professional studio, we're pretty well rehearsed and ready to go with it.
Oh, I think I mentioned this in our last interview, but the guys you play with in CTS, you guys are well-polished musicians. You guys have chops.
They are. Yeah, they're all top pros in their own right. You know, and I talk about that. You know, it's kind of like my aviation. You're only as good as your team. And so my team they are professional musicians. They're amazing guys. They all bring their own form of the art to the table. You know, I'm not a drummer. I can play a little drums, but I'm not a drummer. Same with lead guitar. Our lead guitarist, Dylan Elliott, he's 26 years old, just phenomenal. And that's an art form in itself as well. Bass and keyboards as well also. So Jerry Newsom plays bass. Joe McGinnity's our drummer. So, and we all get along. We're like family. We're like brothers. And that's a good thing, because I've gone through bandmates that aren't, and I think every artist can probably write a book on bandmates and getting the right people together. It's kind of like a marriage in a way.
I think there was a movie quite a while back. I think it was called Spinal Tap. That's a humorous humorous movie. So yeah, I think there's a lot of real life, from what I hear, a lot of real life instances that took place in that movie that actually came close to happening, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was pretty, even though it was a spoof, pretty real to life. And I love the lines, turn it up to 11, you know.
turn it up to 11. So, Jeff, this song, One Life, what do you want folks that listen to the song for the first time? What do you want them to come away with after listening to this song?
I'd like it to inspire them. I'd like to maybe reflect and get perspective on life and inspire them to wake up every morning and just be grateful for the day, another day on this planet. You know, they say the average lifespan is about 80 years, and which if you break it down into days, it's about 3,000 days, and give or take. And none of us know how long or short we're going to get. This journey here is finite. And so I think when you look around, the world just seems to be in such turmoil, and everybody seems upset and ungrateful. And it's kind of like we've lost perspective and I try to look at history. You know, they took covered wagons across the country. They died along the way. There was a lot, you know, and they got a disease. There was no cure, let alone, you know, having an Advil even. And so in today's world, I hope One Life just inspires them to just live every day. Every day is a gift. Go out and create your journey. Make your journey count.
Well, very inspiring. I think after listening to the song, that certainly took place with me, especially after reading through the lyrics and listening to the lyrics of the song. Anyway, a great song, One Life. And again, this is a track from the album Angels and Miracles. And Jeff, if you don't mind, we'll go down each song. I think there are six total, correct?
Yep.
Okay. So let's start, I think, with the first track on this album. And it's called Angels Watching Over Me. Tell me a little bit about this song.
Well, Angels Watching Over Me actually hit number 13 on the radio charts in June. So that was kind of our first release with Universal. And Angels Watching Over Me are about, God talks about angels. And I think angels are like his worker bees that go out and perform miracles in the world and do different things and help people. And, you know, I mean, the story of Christmas is a perfect story of an angel. Without the angel's intervention, you know, Mary got pregnant and she's going, what the heck? You know what? No one's going to understand this. What happened to me? And the angel comes down and says, no, you're fine. Don't be afraid. You know, this is from God. And so I think there's heavenly angels. And then I think there's earthly angels. It's a metaphor, but those people that give more of themselves to others than, you know, they put others before self. And, you know, I kind of compare it to our military, our first responders, the people that are running towards the fire when everybody else is running away. Those are living angels to me. It's a servant's heart. And so the song kind of relates to them as well.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned first responders. I was just recently watching some documentaries on September 11th, 2001, and about the firefighters that were lost because they were running to the trouble. They were, instead of running from it, they were running to the buildings and in the buildings to save lives. And unfortunately, most of them, it took their lives as well. Yeah. But so that metaphor, go ahead.
A good friend of mine, his name is Joe Turillo. He lives in New York. He's a very good friend of mine. I met him through our journeys with the band, and he was a New York firefighter. His station was right across from the South Tower, and he was actually buried alive. And they recovered him. He was very injured. He speaks now. He's a national speaker around the country. But you meet Joe, he ran to the danger like his cohorts did. And that's most people aren't built of that, you know. So
well, that's certainly true. Thank you to all those folks who do serve, and not only the military, but in those positions as policemen, policewomen, firefighters, and so forth. My goodness.
Yeah.
Jeff, the next track, I think it's track number two. Hopefully I've got them in order, but Bright Light City. What do you want folks to come away with while listening to this song?
Bright Light City, years ago, I walked into a room and I'm sure everybody's experienced this. You walk into a room like a party and and all the heads turn and they're looking at you and you're kind of like, whoa, what's everybody look? You feel that awkward feeling. You don't know anybody, but you have that awkward feeling. And Bright Light City is just about, you know, it's about rising above that shyness and going, hey, I am somebody. I have something to offer here. And when they get to know me, they'll enjoy my company. And so the first line is, glance and eyes look through me. You know, I must be going crazy. It's just about kind of rising above that and realizing that we're all special in our own ways. We all have gifts, something to contribute, give back to the world. And so that's what I would hope that people take away from the song.
A very, very nice track on this album. So number three was One Life. We've already discussed that. Uh-huh. Number four track, I believe, is called War. What is this all about?
War is about good against evil. It's about the raging battle that goes on and has gone on for a long time since humanity's been here, but it seems to be accelerating in today's world. I got the idea of war from a sermon I heard at my church years ago, and he was talking about soon a day will come, the day of reckoning. It was his sermon was called The Reckoning. And that's where I got the idea for war was that, and it's about standing up for what we believe. I think sometimes we're afraid to stand up, you know, because we want to be polite. I get that. But I think sometimes it goes too far in the sense that we're reluctant to stand up and go, no, this is what I believe. And this is why. And so war is about good against evil, and soon a day will come at some point, a day of reckoning, and we'll all have to answer for what we did right and what we did wrong here on this journey.
An interesting line that I see in the song is, I can see it coming like a runaway train. I can see the dark sky about to rain. Soon a day will come. Our day of reckoning. And I think, you know, I read those lyrics, I listen to those lyrics while you're singing them, and I think, well, I could just turn on the news and I can see a dark day or a dark sky above us.
And lately it seems, I know it's always been like that, but it seems like it's accelerating to me. I don't know. You turn on the news and as soon as you think you've seen it all, you go, oh my gosh, you know, what that just happened? Are you kidding? You know, it's like anything goes, it seems like today. So I think War is a very pertinent song for today's world and what's going on.
Absolutely. Jeff, the next track I think is number five. It's called We the People. That sounds familiar. Tell me about this song.
We the People. I'm very patriotic. I never served in the military, but I've been around the world. I've traveled. I've seen the world. I've met people around the world. And America, I can say totally without reserve that it's the greatest nation on earth. America's done more for the world than any other country. We've given more. We've given back. We've helped people, we've liberated countries. We don't conquer countries, we liberate them. And so we, the people, are the first three words in our Constitution. And the founding fathers were all Christian men that got together and went at great risk of their life to draft the Constitution. And it starts with we, three words, we the people. And it's, to me, it's a profound document because it's lasted for several hundred years now. And it's what separates us from any other country. You know, it's, you know, it says life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It doesn't say, oh, you're guaranteed happiness, or we're going to hand you happiness. You have to pursue it. You have to go get it on your own. And so we, the people, are the first three words of the Constitution. And that's what kind of the gist of the song is about. It's very patriotic and kind of all American.
One line that stands out to me, and this could be relevant to other things as well, certainly, stand up for what you believe. And many times we as Christians, we kind of shrink back. I'm guilty of that. Shrink back from what we truly have at our core. We truly believe, we know is true. And sometimes instead of lovingly conveying that message, we shrink back and say nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think deep down inside, we're trying to be polite, but it's kind of gone the other way where we've been almost too polite. And God says, you know, you do not deny me in front of anybody. You know, we have to stand up and go, no, this is, we have every right to. He doesn't say go be violent about it. But we nicely have a right to go, no, this is how I believe. This is why I don't agree with this. You know, sin is sin. We all do it, and in different ways. And so, yeah, we have to, I think, stand up for what's right and what we believe.
Very well said. So, Jeff, I believe the last track on this album is called Miracles. What about miracles?
Miracles, yeah, pretty self-explanatory. I believe in miracles. When I introduce it on stage, I talk about, you know, I've actually asked our audiences, does anybody here believe in miracles? And it's amazing how every hand goes up, whether they're a believer or not. People believe, and it's those things that happen that we can't explain. How did grandpa get cured of cancer and he was only given a month to live? You know, those miraculous feats that happen in life. And that's where our angels come in, you know, and God uses his angels to perform miracles. God performs miracles. And so it's just, again, it's gratitude. It's about living every day and being thankful for our miracles in our life. And, you know, and even down to, you know, I think we need to all take time. Just, I mean, look at a tree, look at our world, look at the beauty of this world and marvel at it, the creation of this earth. Sometimes we're so heads down in our phones, you know, going, oh, I'm walking down the street with my phone. And rather than just looking around sometimes and taking the time to go, whoa, this, what a miracle this earth is. And then to even take it further, I'm a science guy, so I'm kind of a nut with math and science. Probably that's the pilot in me, you know. So, you know, when you talk about the world spinning around at 1,000 miles an hour and it's hurtling around the sun at 65,000 miles an hour and the sun is going through space at 500,000 miles an hour, you just go, whoa, that's a miracle. That's, you know, and then as humans, sometimes we seem to act like we know it all. We know what's best, or we don't really know much, I think, when you think about it in the big scheme of the universe. And so those miracles that we can be thankful for every day, our bodies, just think about the human body. What a miracle. It's pretty, you know, just procreation, having a baby, you know, think about what a miracle that is. It's and we take it for granted all the time. I'm guilty of that too.
I certainly am as well. And it just, you know, the older I get now, the more I enjoy sunrises through our kitchen window. Yeah. And they're always beautiful when you know, when it's not a cloudy day, you can all see the sun come up. You can see the array of colors, the pinks, the yellows, the, you know, just these beautiful hues of color. And it's a different sunrise every single morning. So again, the older I get, the more I appreciate things like that.
Yeah. God's palette is just, you know, I fly helicopters and I've witnessed the world from, you know, we're normally about 500 feet. I've traveled across this nation in a helicopter, 500 feet above the ground, doing about 150. And you just marvel at the things you see. And sometimes you're out over desolation. There's no city or road or electric wires or nothing. And you go, and then sometimes you'll be flying along and there's a horse, lone horse in the middle of nowhere. And you go, whoa, that's crazy, you know, or there's a herd of cattle. And so it's, that's where flying has brought perspective for me in life, in the world around me.
And I would have to think too, Jeff, in your position, because of what you do as a, not only a helicopter pilot, but as a jet pilot as well, you see things that most people won't get a chance to see. You get to see things, you know, from way up there, and most of us are kind of stuck down here, but mm-hmm. you can see a bigger perspective, I guess,
it is,
than most of us do.
Yeah. And that's what spawned my book, Life Lessons from 7 Miles High. It's about what aviation taught me about life and the metaphors, and then, you know, how it's brought me closer to God over the years. And, you know, when you see, you know, one of the stories I talk about in the book is you fly over Los Angeles at night, there's 15 million people, and you realize there's probably every human emotion going on at the same time down there that you could imagine. And so it brings perspective, and it kind of makes you feel insignificant at times because it is so overwhelming, but it's beautiful, the beauty of it. And you get high enough. I've been high enough to see, when the sun goes down, kind of the curvature of the earth. And it's
high is that? I'm curious.
It's about 45,000 and up. I've been up to 51,000. Wow. So when the conditions are just right, if it's clear enough on the horizon, you can actually kind of start seeing the curvature, and as you kind of go, wow, that's amazing. You know,
so this is maybe off topic. Maybe it's on topic. What kind of a jet flies that high? Do the Learjets fly that high, or is it something bigger than a Learjet?
Some of the Lears are certified for 51. It's not the best idea to go up there very often. I've just done it once or twice in my career, but it's pretty thin air up there. You don't want to stay up there too long, and if you have a pressurization problem, it can be a real serious issue.
So, wow. That's amazing. Now, about your flight career, and we've just talked about the last track on the song. So let's go on to you're a trained pilot. You've been a Hollywood stunt pilot. You're a trained helicopter pilot. What have you been doing lately in that profession?
I'm flying for a company out of Phoenix right now, Paradise Jets. I fly a Lear 60. Really beautiful airplane, fast, nimble, holds about 8 people. And it's, and what's cool is the people I get to meet, just amazing. You know, they're all successful, really interesting, all backgrounds, you know, from entertainers to business owners and CEOs. And then, And then I fly an Eclipse jet out of Scottsdale for a company called Legacy Jets. And then a helicopter I fly out of Scottsdale for H5 Productions, which is a beautiful A-star. We do like Sedona tours, Grand Canyon. And I haven't for a while, but I also fly a camera jet for Wolf Air out of L.A., and that we do the aerial photography out of that. So we were doing a lot of Boeing commercials, airline commercials, Bombardier, and that kind of went away with COVID. There's talk of it kind of spooling up again, but it kind of went dormant. So I haven't done a lot of that lately. But prior to that, I flew that airplane in True Lies, Executive Decision, Hot Shots, Silence of the Lambs, just different Hollywood films.
I'm curious, Jeff, with your Hollywood pilot photography planes that you've flown in the past, or filming planes, I guess is a better term. What is it with CGI, with artificial intelligence, the ability for Hollywood to create scenes that don't even exist? Is there competition for those things?
There is.
Is there still a need for that?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a conversation I have quite a bit, actually. I mean, it seems like a lot of the movies we go to anymore, most of it's CGI. And I think it's almost numbing our senses in the sense that that's what we expect all the time. It's even though it's not real, but so it's a little bit of it's kind of cool, but it is kind of a pet peeve of mine. When they do aircraft, I look at it and go, well, that looks kind of fake to me. It doesn't look real, although it's getting much, much better. You know, they did do a lot of CGI in Top Gun. A good friend of mine was the aerial coordinator in Top Gun. So the advent of the CGI has been definitely a change in the movie industry for sure. When I worked on True Lies, they shot it in film. It wasn't even in digital camera. And that was with James Cameron. And he would talk about, he actually back then said, we'll never get away from film. We'll always use film. Because the digital the quality wasn't good enough yet. Now that's all they use. And so, and that was the turn of the CGI, because even back then he said, oh, if I get an image of the Harrier, I can stick Arnold in the cockpit of it, Arnold Schwarzenegger. So now they can make anything look, you know, it's pretty remarkable what they do.
Yeah, and it's my understanding that a lot of the old Hollywood sets that they used to have to build are no longer necessary because they can do pretty much everything in front of green screen.
Absolutely. Yeah. Isn't that remarkable? So, yeah. And the action that they can create it looks so real, and, you know, it's like somebody flying through the air. But, and again, though, we start getting accustomed to that's what we expect all the time. This kind of out of this world, unrealistic kind of effect, you know. So it'll be interesting to see where it goes over the next few years.
Well, speaking of upcoming in the next few years, or a few months or a few weeks, Jeff, what do you have coming up? What type of projects are you working on? What are you going to be doing? Are you going to go on the road with music?
We don't tour per se, but usually most of our traveling trips are out. We perform and come back. So we've got a few of those this year coming up. We have one locally in Phoenix here for Women Veteran Group. They've got some World War II veterans. Proceeds are going to, it's called Veterans First Limited, Madison Performing Arts Center in Phoenix. It's a beautiful venue. So we're putting on a full rock show. We'll have about 10 strings. So I'm putting together a small little orchestra to perform with us as well. I love that sound. And that's coming up. Soul Fest is in August. I think it'll be our fourth year there. And Dan Russell's been very great to us. He puts on Soul Fest. And I'm also kind of a new thing. I'm actually getting into the speaking world. I'm trying to get into being a speaker at corporate events or churches or an inspirational type, and then tie my book in with it. And I think our package is kind of unique. We can, oh, by the way, I've got a band. We can bring in and do your music that night. So that's kind of what I'm working towards right now.
So if someone is looking for a speaker slash musician slash band to play, how do they get in touch with you guys?
Cut through our website, ctsmusic.com. You can call me direct. I've got a booking agent, Rob Montes. And I also have a little TV show, which I should probably have you on. It's called Backstage Pass with Jeff Senior that we're resurrecting. We had it before COVID. It kind of went away. Now we're bringing it back. And it's just about amazing people doing great things, living their dreams. And so we're working on that as well. But yeah, I mean, you're welcome to give out my number. It's fine with me. So
I'll give the website below the video. And if anyone is curious, they can certainly go to CTSmusic, that is .com, yeah. CTSmusic.com. Now the TV show that you're talking about, how does one access that if they want to look at some of your past episodes?
Yeah, they're working on putting it on syndication, but for right now it's going to be on YouTube. We have a few episodes up that we put up a couple years ago before COVID. And then, like I said, it kind of got kiboshed until COVID went away. So now we're putting together a number of episodes, and it's kind of similar to what you're doing, you know, just interviewing amazing people. I'm not limiting it to just music. I'm kind of broadening it to some of these people I've met. Like I just interviewed Robert Kiyosaki. He was Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And believe it or not, I just through our producer, Barbara Beach, just got to interview Pat Boone. I just threw a blank.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I got to talk to Pat Boone and talk about a nice guy. Wow. Just a salt of the earth. He's still performing, still acting in movies. He's writing music. He's, you know, it's just remarkable. He's a patriot, Christian guy. Just that was an honor to get to talk to him.
I think it's amazing. I think my wife and I were watching it. It was either I Love Lucy or like something like the Donna Reed Show or something like that the other night. And they were mentioning Pat Boone. So you get something from the 50s where he was popular. I guess his popularity was at the highest. Yeah. And we fast forward to 2024 now. And, you know, the guy is still performing. So that's still amazing.
I know. He's really an inspiration to all of us, I think, because he's just like, wow, he's still going. It's, you know, it's kind of like the line I get sometimes. People go, well, why don't you retire? It's like, well, what would you suggest I do? I love what I do. I'm retired, but I'm not retired because what I do for a living is like a hobby. So, you know, I'm not very good at golf. So I would get kind of bored of that after a while, but, guys like Pat Boone who are just out there still knocking it out of the park, you know, it's pretty remarkable.
Well, Jeff, I just encourage you to keep doing what you're doing, man. You're an honor to interview, your music is awesome. And, what you can do with the airplane and the helicopter is truly amazing as well.
Well, it's a couple of gifts I was given by God, and I love using them and trying to inspire people. And I can't thank you enough, Tony, for being on your show. I just, I get to come back. So I must have done something okay the first time. And it's just an honor to know you and keep up the good work you're doing as well to your audiences.
Well, thank you, Jeff. That means a lot. So Jeff's new title, a new track, is called One Life. Now, this One Life track can be found on the album, which is called Angels and Miracles. And again, if you want to download this album, or if you want to find out more information about Jeff and his band or CTS, you can simply go to ctsmusic.com. Again, ctsmusic.com.